Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. We lost a champion. Rush Limbaugh was a friend of liberty and of God and country patriots everywhere. He grew up in a God-fearing household, but came to know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior only a few years ago, I understand. My initial reaction to his passing was, frankly, angry. Why did this dear friend of liberty, who soldiered so valiantly in the fight for America as founded, have to die now? I mean, at such a low point in the battle. Now, we will accept his own resignation to the will of God in the matter. You've probably read his statement that he has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that was very valuable and important to him and helped him come to terms with surrender to the will of God with regard to his situation, that he was at peace, knowing that what would happen according to God's will and when it was supposed to happen. You know, a short time ago at Lighthouse, we lost a dear man and his wife. He didn't die, but my dear friend moved up north to work with his son, who was my assistant pastor forever, 15 years or something like that, and then went on to pastor a church, a great church in Northern California, and his father and mother went up there to work with him. But we wondered, how are we going to replace him? You know, he was here for 26 years or 20, whenever, all the way up until he left. You know what we discovered? He had done such a good job preparing young men so that when he left, frankly, it was amazing to see these young families step up and step in and pick up all the responsibilities. They're doing an excellent, excellent job. And frankly, the church is stronger. Limbaugh has trained many thousands of patriots to continue the fight. He paved the way for conservative patriotism to continue moving forward and having voice in the land. And the movement will be stronger because of his influence. No one will take his place, but thousands will step into place and fill in who have been trained from his example and from his, well, his mentorship, you could say. So to Rush, we say thank you, and we will see you later, my friend.
The Brain Massage Show releases truth antibodies in the brain that attack and destroy liberal lies.
Okay, let's see here. We've got Chinese ice cream testing positive for COVID. What? Well, maybe you should give the vaccine to the ice cream. Anyway, AOC wants government, read taxpayer, funding to de-radicalize white supremacists. Now, she's the one who enthusiastically called for re-education camps. You know, the sort of talk is becoming popular among the DNC to identify all Trump supporters as domestic terrorists. There's even some yak about banning Trump supporters from flying, from public events, even booking hotels. It's really, I mean, it's just getting weird. The death count continues to rise from COVID, only now it's the vaccine that's killing us. You know, a vaccine that's supposed to protect us from the virtually harmless disease called COVID-19. Come on, man. 99.8% recovery rate from healthy people, or for healthy people, and then 94.5% recovery rate for those considered vulnerable to complications from the disease. Come on, man. Disney will halt donations to lawmakers who objected to the electoral vote. There you go. They will punish you, man, if you misbehave, if you don't kowtow to the masses. Yes, massa. Yes, massa. NG continues deployment in D.C. and continues to be ignorant about why they are there. One thing they do know, though, they have been cleared to use lethal force. I'm not kidding you. What's going on? That's bizarre. And now an air squadron has been deployed to D.C. What in the world are these people expecting to happen? They think Trump patriots are going to get in, what, jet planes that come bomb the... What are they thinking? The migrant caravans are moving toward the U.S. border, demanding Biden honor his promises. Well, good luck on that one, folks. He has not honored any of the promises he's made to Americans thus far. But then again, those promises are contrary to his agenda. The promise he made to you, maybe it'll work. Unreal! Only I thought today we would talk about the 2020 election, since today, I prepare the show on Friday, as you know, the SCOTUS is considering whether or not to weigh in on the constitutional crisis that has been created by the massive fraud and illegalities of that election. Will the nine decide to do their constitutional duty and hear these cases, or will they, in fear, duck their heads down into their black robes and pretend it's a political issue and not a legal one? Forgetting for the moment that the Constitution was violated in the manner of how electors were to be chosen, forgetting for the moment that lower courts have refused to hear the strong case of state-sanctioned voter fraud. In other words, we're not talking about the plethora of evidence that has been amassed proving voter fraud took place and voter fraud such as would change the outcome, but we're talking about evidence of election fraud. Do you understand the difference? Voter fraud is when a voter votes fraudulently. Election fraud is when the election itself is manipulated, usually by election officers or others. On a state level, you know, where backroom deals were made to use Dominion machines for the specific and intended purpose to control the outcome of the 2020 election. And rather than merely rehearse all the voter fraud evidence that we've gone over quite a few times together, and by the way, you could go to Lindell's Absolute Proof video, and there are a few others out there, some that I've seen that are very, very good about pulling together all the information and making it simple to follow and showing you just how this election was stolen. So we don't need to go over all that right now. But there was massive election fraud involving state officials, the Dominion machines, foreign interference in our election, that's key, and that from the CCP. You know, I've learned lately to be as careful as I can be, as I can remember to be, to differentiate China from the communist regime that oppresses her. There are a lot of good people in China. There are globalists around the world who are intent on stopping America from interfering with their Nimrod agenda. You know, the latest effort to establish a one-world controlled government, holding people together and under their control by their tower of oppression. You know, but God is going to visit the earth, consider their tower. And as he always does at such junctures in human history, he's going to destroy their tower and scatter their power. He's going to decentralize and turn the power back to the people. Watch. Anyway, here we go. It's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Okay, my friends, look, the wall, the dam that has been created by those that have appointed themselves as the arbiters of what you get to see and what you get to hear and even what you are allowed to say. Well, that dam they built against the truth is about to burst. The cracks are appearing. The enemies of our liberties are getting increasingly desperate. And folks, the problem with desperate people is that they will resort to desperate measures and they become extremely dangerous. I do believe it will probably get significantly worse before it then gets a whole lot better. So let's look at some basic things that you need to understand. First of all, there is a them and an us. Who's the them and who's the us? Now, of course, we're aware of the distinction between the saved and the lost, but I'm talking about a more general distinction. It's one that Jesus had in view when he said, quote, "For he that is not against us is on our part," Mark 9:41. If you pay attention to that passage, it's really quite interesting. You'll notice that he went on to speak of those who were not necessarily his followers, and that's the context of the whole conversation he was having with his disciples. But they treated his followers with respect and charity and honored his name. Jesus said, "For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward." On the other hand, he said, "Whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it would be better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea." And then he gave a severe warning to those who offend. He illustrated the gravity of offense against any of these, saying, "If your hand offends you, Cut it off. It's better for you to enter into life maimed than having two hands and to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And all that is in Mark chapter 9, verses 41 to 43, somewhere in there. So, you see, there are those who hate Christ and his disciples and who abuse them, treat them badly, take away their liberties, deny to them their rights. And then there are those who might or might not be followers of Christ, but they honor him. They have respect to the name. They treat his disciples with honor and respect. Do you understand what I'm getting at? The disciples were concerned about someone out there doing service in Jesus' name who was not a follower with them, and they thought this person was their enemy. And Jesus straightened them out, telling them, look, he said, look, anyone out there doing a good deed in my name is not our enemy. I often use the example of Cornelius because, well, it's such a good example. Acts 10 to 11, tell us about this man named Cornelius. And by the way, now for some of you, I understand that if I make a direct reference to the Bible, some of you, bless your hearts, you get the eye-rolling disease. You understand how applicable what I'm saying is to everything going on in this country right now. I wish you would listen. Look, if I quoted some philosopher from Bhagavad Gita, what's that thing the Indians use? I don't mean the Native Americans here. I'm talking about India. Some esoteric holy book of the ancient Chinese, maybe if I quoted from Nostradamus, or great books on religion and esoteric philosophy, or something like that, it wouldn't be a problem. No eye rolling, just, interest and Or some 17th century book on astrology, occult, or talked about cosmic consciousness and all this. Ooh, mysterious, intriguing, very interesting. How enlightened, how intelligent. If I quote from the Bible, you get eye rolling disease. Bear with me, folks. I'm just having some fun. Because not you. I know that. Of course, not you. I mean, that guy, the one over there. See him? Yep, there he goes. Look at it. Eye roll. But I like the Cornelius example because there you have the perfect illustration of what I'm saying. Cornelius was not a follower of Jesus Christ. He wasn't saved, but he was a God-fearing man, and he was kind. He gave alms to the poor. He prayed to God always. How about that one? So he had the right idea about who God was and everything, and he was devout, but he did not, how did Rush put it? Cornelius had not come to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ until after Peter came to his house and preached the gospel and he got saved. You see, but he wasn't the sort of person that would be the enemy of Christ either. He wasn't someone that would, like Saul, who became the Apostle Paul. Well, before Paul became a Christian, he was an enemy of the gospel. He would hunt down Christians, haul them to jail, beat them. He even stood by approvingly on the sideline, watching while one of Christ's choicest saints was stoned to death. You can see that in Acts chapter 7. No, look, Cornelius was a great guy, and there are many of them out there. All believers who knew him would consider him a good neighbor and a friend of righteousness, not an enemy to the truth. And yet, he was not saved. So that's what I'm going for here. I'm trying to help you understand that our nation is divided between them and us, where the them and the us are categories that are differentiated by what Jesus called those who are against us as opposed to those who are, not against us. Got it? Those who are against us are militant, like Paul was. They are fierce proponents of an ideology that is antithetical to ours. Many of them religiously motivated. People who see Christianity and Christians as a threat to them, as their enemy. Well, then there are those who might not identify as Christians, or they do, but they're generic Christians, nominal. But they don't perceive us as being their enemy. In fact, they might even embrace a favorable view of Jesus Christ. Then there are those whose hatred for Christ Jesus is deep. It's visceral. It comes from a place deep in their emotions, far detached from their intellect. They hate us and Christ from their gut and for reasons that they really cannot intellectually explain. But they know in their soul that we are a threat. You see, these people are lovers of darkness. They love darkness because in darkness, in their self-deceit, they can justify feeding their dark lusts. They can indulge their appetites for things that they know among those out there would be considered abhorrent and evil and bad, that they would be condemned for it, see, by those Christ lovers. They know their behaviors are unnatural, contrary to nature, but they believe these behaviors somehow make them superior to nature, masters over others. It's a bizarre lie, but they like the lie because in the lie, they can continue serving their dark lord, whom they love. Sometimes secretly, even to themselves, but they love the darkness because in the darkness, they can hide from the truth that bothers their natural conscience, that exposes them to reproof for their inner thoughts and dark deeds. They chafe against the bands and cords laid upon them by Christ, the King who conquered darkness and represented here in the earth by those Christians. And they resent those bands and cords and resent us. We submit to the reproof of the Holy Ghost upon our conscience. We accept the conviction and we surrender to the light. You see, we are doers of truth. And so we come to the light. Jesus explained this in John 3:17-21. And they desire to break themselves out from under the bands and cords of divine restraints that Jesus set upon this world when he defeated darkness upon the cross of Calvary. They want to abuse children. They want to murder babies. They want to feed themselves on the innocence of the unspoiled. They want to devour. They have the appetite of the lion that governs them, that walks about looking for every opportunity to leap into one of these lovers of darkness and in them and through them devour any who will give them access, any they can overtake. So that sets us up here, my friend. The bands and cords of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the light, are hated by the lovers of darkness. And we have been fools to give power to these lovers of darkness because we have fed the predators who are devouring our children. Oh, wait till you hear what's been going on. And trampling our precious liberties under their dirty feet. Hold on to the break, my friends. I'll be right back.
Go to GodsWar2020.com.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemy is on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Truth is marching on. I have been doing a live stream visit using Facebook every evening except Wednesday and Sunday. There is no special time slot dedicated for that visit, but you can go to the Facebook page for Lighthouse Baptist Church, Santa Maria, California. Like the page, set up notifications to join in if you want. It's a casual format, and it's a place where we encourage one another in this current distress. In fact, it's called Comfort and Counsel for the Present Distress, and that's taken from 1 Corinthians 7:28. Now, I've been talking about how justice and truth seem always to be behind criminals and liars, and struggling to catch up, it seems. It will surprise you to discover that this is because justice and truth, they are the default settings in God's creation. Injustice is an act that disrupts the default. And that's also true of the lie. In other words, to illustrate, a criminal interrupts the way of things with an act contrary to the default. And so the criminal and the liar always starts or initiates the disruption. Consequently, they are always the first to act and so are always ahead of justice and truth at first. When a criminal violates justice, well, justice has to respond. And in order for justice to respond, it must, well, respond justly. And so there is the innocent until proven guilty thing. And then there is the probable cause before you can arrest him thing. And then there's the catching the bad guy thing as he's fleeing or whatever. And then there's the lawyering up thing. And then there's the investigation thing. And then the trial thing. And you begin to understand. And all of this takes time. And we get impatient. But we need to understand, this tells you, justice is the default setting. A crime is initiated against the default, and now we must proceed to correct the disruption in a manner that is, well, lawful and orderly, or we'll destroy justice altogether. The same thing happens when you're dealing with liars. They break the default expectation, which is truth. And then truth has to respond. So they're ahead of us, you see. And often there's a period during which the liars labor to continue their lie. Now think about it. The lie is only effective as long as it is thought to be the truth. Isn't that interesting? What does that tell you? It tells you truth is the default. Truth is the, well, the expected norm. We don't expect people to lie. We know they do. But we don't listen to one another from a default position with the assumption they're lying. Right? That is, unless the individual has proven themselves to be a liar, like the well, the DNC or the MSM or Gates or Fauci or you know what I mean. We expect that people, generally speaking, are telling us the truth. And this is the reason that we are warned, brethren or beloved, believe not every spirit. Why? Well, because that's the default instinct. So we have to be warned. Hey, don't believe everything you hear. Try it, test it, prove it. So look at what's going on right now. We know there was election fraud. And those who committed the fraud also know there was election fraud. They are depending on keeping their followers deceived. And they're doing everything they can to keep the truth about this election from breaking down the lies they have been telling them about the election. Some of those who accept the MSM and SM, you know, social media and so on, simply telling them there's no fraud. Well, they want to believe there's no fraud because they hate Trump. And by the way, the reason they hate Trump is because, well, they were told to hate Trump. They hate Trump for the same reason they are afraid of COVID. They were told to be afraid of COVID. Because it will kill you. So they don't even pay attention to the 99.8% recovery of the healthy and the 94.5% recovery rate of those vulnerable. They don't even hear that. They were told COVID will kill you. So they believe that and they're afraid. They were told to hate Trump because he's a racist. They don't try the spirits to see if they be of God. They don't investigate. They don't even ask the question, is he? And why do you think so? They simply act on their instinct to believe these people would not lie about something like this. And then they have it put on plain display in front of them during the impeachment trial in the Senate. And there it is right in front of them. They've been lied to all along. And then they're incentivized, by the way, to believe the lie. They were incentivized by how they see those who don't believe it are treated. They're ostracized, they're belittled, they're mocked, demeaned. They're called bigots, Neanderthals, whatever. I haven't heard that one in a while, but you know. What else? Racist, that's a favorite. Homophobe, yeah, there's a good one. And what else? Oh, yeah, they're blocked on social media. They're blamed for everything. They're called terrorists. They're threatened with losing their jobs, losing their place in line for promotion at work. All this pressure, all these incentives to support and prop up and continue to believe the lie. You see how it works? Yeah, take the blacks. Who decided to come out for conservative values like Candace Owens and so many others, many others. And what happens? They're attacked, called Uncle Toms, accused of betrayal of their race, for heaven's sake. I mean, if you're paying attention, you know exactly what I'm saying, and you know that it's true. The left is strongly incentivized to believe and to reinforce the lies that are being told. So that's what the truth has to overcome. You understand? Here's what I'm trying to get across to you is it takes some time for the truth to overcome all this. It has to catch up with the lie. Then it has to overcome all of the resistance that the liars have put in place to fight against anyone accepting or even hearing the truth. But the bottom line is the truth is going to win. And it will win because the fact is most people recognize it when they do finally hear and see it. And people instinctively want the truth. They know that living a lie can only lead to one place, and that's to hell. People want the truth. One reason liars so fiercely defend their lie as the truth is because they know that deep in the human soul, there's a desire for truth. There's a strong pull toward the default of justice and truth in our nature. It was wired into us by our Creator. Now, that is, as I pointed out, accepting those who love the darkness. Oh, they don't want truth because it interferes with them doing what they want to do. It exposes them to the reproof of the Holy Spirit sent into the world to reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Now, happily, most Americans, at least for the present, prefer the reproof of the Spirit over the delusion and lies of Satan. And that, my friend, is the power of the gospel in its influence over the culture generally. Well, anyway, it looks like I've used all my time explaining the them and the us. And I went a little long in the first segment. Perhaps that's just what the Lord wanted for today's show. Understand the them and the us. Understand the essential distinction being that the them are lovers of darkness or among those who are controlled by their lies and actually victimized and cowered by their evil crimes. For those people, the truth is their enemy or the lie is their oppressor. The us, on the other hand, represents those that Jesus described as truth doers. In another place, he described them as those who have a good and honest heart, who, when the seed sets upon it, it does bear fruit. Those who want the truth and are not the enemies of it. There are many under the control of the haters of truth who have been convinced that the lies they are hearing are truth. And that's the only reason it has any influence on them. You understand, some don't care about truth. I get that. They love darkness. They hate truth. They know that what they're telling are lies. They know that. But these people, in order to maintain their power and influence, they have to work hard to convince those they control that what they're telling them is true. They have to convince them that the lie they're espousing is true, because only the truth actually has influence over them. You get it? They can maintain their control and influence only as long as they are able to convince people that the lies they're telling them are true. However, when those who love truth continue to speak truth to the lie and continue to show the truth and expose the lies, eventually, the wicked lose control over the minds and hearts of those they are controlling and oppressing with lies, because down deep, they actually sincerely value truth, which is what the wicked use to control. You begin to understand. Look, what's happening right now, remember the COVID thing was used by Cuomo, Wolf, Whitmer, Newsom, and the other guy who's Murphy of New Jersey. These governors ordered nursing homes to admit COVID-positive patients in facilities they were told repeatedly were not equipped for this and that it would expose the most vulnerable to this disease, and they did it anyway. And you remember, we were from the beginning hollering about that, and we were concerned about it, and that these governors were sending these elderly mothers and fathers and grandmothers and grandfathers to their deaths, to their lonely, miserable deaths, isolated from family, and that it was wrong. But the liars told their lies, and enough believed the lies to allow them to get away with it. So truth and justice were pretty far behind at first, as they always are. But now, truth and justice are catching up with these wicked people. And now we know that Cuomo has been engaged in a cover-up to hide the number of elderly patients that he's responsible for their deaths by his policies. And now we know, out of all 50 states, 50% of all elderly deaths to COVID occurred in the nursing homes of only five. And it was the five of these wicked governors. Half of all the elderly deaths from COVID occurred in the five states where the governors forced nursing homes to admit COVID-positive patients. So, truth is catching up, and justice is not far behind. Truth has to be picked up first. Then justice can come in with judgment to exercise wrath against the evildoers. Please trust me, the same thing is true of the election fraud issue. I know that the crime and the lie have gotten a pretty good head start, but truth will catch up and defeat the lie, and then judgment will go forward to restore justice. I'll visit with you later tonight and tell you about some exciting stuff that's happening toward truth prevailing, paving the way for judgment to go forward upon the evildoers and restore justice to America. I've lit the lamps of the church belfry arch. You let me know you see they're on. Call 1-805-314-2114. Say lights on, lights off, or give me a message. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
Go to GodsWar2020.com.